Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Recently, in all the news that we're hearing here about, a few months ago, all we heard was fiscal cliff.
Yeah, right.
You know, for a long time, and then there was no fiscal cliff, and they mysteriously fixed it. And now you're hearing a lot of talks of sequestration. We're in actual sequestration right now, that there was a cut of, I believe, $85 billion off the budget, which is like, a drop. Yeah. And you have all of these, uncertainties in these economic times. You're looking at what's happening in Europe and Greece and Italy and Spain. I mean, it's like at any moment those dominoes can start, mm-hmm. coming down. And of course, we have still, some tough economic things going on in our own country, in our own nation. And so really, what is the believer to do? I mean, what is the Christian to do in terms of all of this? And how are they supposed to, address in their own finances? And one of the things that we can do as believers is to get our spiritual house, our financial house in order. Yeah. When you have 3%, according to George Barna, of the church actually tithing, I think that there's a problem, what I mean? And it's not like the Bible is silent. I mean, there are over 500 verses on prayer and less than 500 verses on faith, and it's about over 2,000 verses on the subject of money and material possessions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very clear. And in Matthew 6, 19 through 20, the Word of God says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Right? Mm-hmm. It says, don't do that. But instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Right.
And we really have to take a reality check and really understand that, what's going on? What is happening? We live in such a blessed land. Is it possible that, our heart is exactly where we've been spending all of our treasures? I would dare say that the Bible is correct. And what about all sorts of greed and lust for more and more and more and more and more? The word greed means an excessive desire to acquire or possess more than what one needs or deserves. It's insatiable. It's impossible to satisfy. And it's always wanting more and more. And so we got to think about, to whom much is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. To whom much is given, much is required. And we got to think about, how blessed are we? How blessed are we as a nation? How blessed are we as a church? When you think about that, we represent, 5% of the world's population?
Mm-hmm. We being
America,
right?
And we consume how much percent of the world's resources?
Like most of
it. Yeah, most of it. I mean, what's up with that? We've been so blessed, but the question is, are we recognizing that we are living in such great blessings? And it's amazing that no matter what financial situation someone's in, it's everyone always thinks about it. I don't know, you can help me out with this, but it seems like I think the tendency is to be more like, okay, this, wherever we're at, no matter what that is, mm-hmm. we need to go a step higher. We need to keep going more. There's more. And there's nothing wrong with, I guess, achieving more and having more so that you can bless more. And I mean, that's all great and that's all good. But at some point, when do we begin to be thankful and grateful for what we do have, mm-hmm. instead of coveting and lusting and wishing for all the things that we don't have? I mean, at what point do we say, is it after the third TV or the fourth TV that we say, okay, this is enough. This is enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? do we say, is it after, you know, we got the Xbox, we got the Wii, we got the iPods, and we have the, you know, is it after the third tablet that we say, okay, we're good now. We're good, you know? And I'm not against things. I mean, I don't think the Lord's against things. I mean, God's not against you having things. He's probably against things having you, right?
Right.
And possessing you, right? Mm-hmm. We actually, you know, are in the top 20% of the income earners in the world. Think about that. 80% of the world's population makes less money than Americans. 80%. There's close to 7 billion people in the world. And when you think we live in the most blessed land, and even if you donate and give 10% of your income away, you're still, I'm sorry, in the top 21% of all the income earners in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're blessed. You know, they say that the poorest person lives on less than $4 a day in the world. And you think about all the stuff that we have. We're looking at a nation that's lost its way. I mean, we're complaining oftentimes of all the different things, but we don't take time to really pause and say, you know what? We need to be grateful. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to, the Word says, enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons, I mean, I love the holiday of Thanksgiving. It's not crisp because I get to eat the turkey and the, you know, cornbread, and I mean, that's good now. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. But mm-hmm. I really love Thanksgiving because
right.
It really helps me. It helps all of us, the family. It really helps everyone to kind of focus around to the things that matter most. You know, I mean, you never see a U-Haul behind a Hertz. You can't take all the stuff with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at the end of the day, what matters is God. Right? Who God is to us and our relationships in the Lord, the church and our family, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's what matters. And so we need a fresh perspective on how blessed we are. The Heritage Foundation in 2007, almost 5-6 years ago, they did this this report, this study, and they found these facts regarding the about the poor in the United States. And what they figured out was that 43% of all poor households actually own their homes. This is what they found out. They say that the average home owned by persons classified as poor by the Census Bureau is a 3-bedroom house with 1.5 baths garage. I mean, obviously, there's people that have a whole lot less than that. You know, this is on average. On average, and you think about where we've come in technology. I mean, I remember here recently that in North Korea, that the founder of the CEO of Google
mm-hmm.
went over to North Korea, and one of the people on the trip was saying it's like a ghost town. They got these buildings; it's like the most eeriest thing in the world. They build all this stuff. There's nobody there. It's like, it's all a facade. It's all mm-hmm. like, you know, make pretend. It's kind of what's happening with China too. It's building stuff, houses and buildings, but there's nobody moving in there.
Wow.
And back in you look at in the 1970s, right? They say 80% today 80% of poor households have air conditioning, and so we think, oh, you know, what's the big deal? You know, it's everyone should have air conditioning, right?
Right, right.
But in 1970, only 36% of the U.S. population had air conditioning. In 1970, 36%. And now we have 80% of our poor, but you look at the people all around the world. What do they have? When you're talking about Americans and how blessed we are, listen to this. The average poor American, again, according to the Heritage Foundation, the average poor American has more living space than the average individual living in Paris, London, Vienna, Athens, and other cities throughout Europe. Wow. Think about that. The average poor American has more living space than the average individual, not as the poorest, mm-hmm. but the average individual. And that's amazing. You know, that's really amazing when you think about, again, how blessed we are. And I think it's time that we take inventory. You talk about malnourishment, and you talk about all these campaigns for Let's Move, and you know, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. you would think that based upon what's being pushed in terms of food. I mean, you have the mayor in New York saying just passing a law that doesn't allow people to have certain size large soda drinks because no, that's obese. So a restaurant now can't serve. I think it's beyond 16 ounces. Can't do that. Can't. No, that's obese. But according to this study, they have found that in fact most poor children today are in fact super nourished and grow up to be on average 1 inch taller and 10 pounds heavier than the GIs who stormed the beaches in Normandy in World War II. Come on now. Wow. You know, you think about, you often wonder, really? You have some of these most amazing athletes that are in the best shape in the world. And some of these college athletes, I mean, I saw a whole documentary on Miami Hurricanes college football team, because you don't know what I mean. Awesome college football team, and they're talking about their recruiting. I mean, they were most of those college players, all a whole bunch of them went right into the NFL mm-hmm. from Miami during that period of time, yeah. And they were recruiting a whole bunch of students and athletes in a really poor, impoverished area, and giving them the opportunity to give them scholarship and help them go to school and all that type of stuff. Well, rest assured, I'm sure if you know you're poor and you're impoverished and you're just trying to survive. You're not eating organic greens.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're not shopping at the local Whole Foods, you know, and drinking soy milk. You know, you're just happy to be having milk or exactly. Almond milk. And yet, they're in the best physical, shape and training to get these scholarships and play in such an athletic level. And so we can't fall to a misconception. I'm not by any stretch saying that we don't have poor people in our country and people that are less advantaged and at disadvantage. But when you look at the perspective, right, you look at the big picture, because oftentimes you can stay there and say, woe is me, and look at what I don't have. I mean, you can. I mean, that is anyone's right. That is that if that's what you want to do, you know. Anyone can sit there and count the ways of how you're not blessed, right?
Yeah.
And look at what you don't have.
That's something. We can just point out all the things we don't have or what's wrong, or, you know, we just so easily can complain, but we strain to try and think of something positive or something, how blessed we are. Because we're always looking down the road instead of looking where we're at. It's unbelievable.
I mean, we live like kings.
Yeah.
Kings, and what a shame! I mean, you ever had that desire? Where you think, oh, I want to get that car, or I want to get that next thing, or really a car, let's say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then your car breaks down, and you're like, you know, God, did I ask you for a Lexus? Did I say I want? Can you just get me back to zero?
Pinto's looking really good right now.
Yeah. Can you just fix the hoopty? We just want to be able to walk, right? You know, we're tired of walking, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
We're blessed. I mean, the fact that we would say that we have, I mean, what a problem that we would have an obesity problem, not a starvation problem. Think about that. Not a starvation problem, but we would dare say that we have an obesity problem,
mm-hmm.
that the people in our nation are so big. Why? Because they consume so much. And really, the body doesn't need to consume all that much, mm-hmm. right?
It don't.
It really doesn't. And so you look at it, and we got to look at it and say, wow, we are blessed. We're missing perspective, and it's important to teach this to our children. And when you look about our stuff that we acquire in our homes, right, not only do we have more square footage, but now we got to get places like storage facilities to store our junk. I'm saying, we're going to get storage facilities. You'll be surprised to know that the storage industry is primarily a U.S. industry. I don't think they have, you know, storage facilities in different parts of Africa or other parts of the world, right? Think about that. Out of 58,000 storage facilities in the world, 46,000 of them are in the United States. 46,000, 2.35 billion square feet of self-storage, some of which is heated and air-conditioned. Our junk lives better than some other people. It is said that 1 in 10 households now rent a self-storage unit. Think about that. And even the industry was saying that basically this exists because Americans don't want to get rid of their junk. So we'll hold it for them. They don't throw anything away.
Mm-hmm.
or bless somebody with it, you know. And it's time for us to take inventory and to really think about how blessed we are, how privileged we are, and really start, you know, teaching our children that you're not down and out because you don't have the latest game. You're not woe is me because you don't have $120 shoes. You're not woe is me because you didn't get to X, Y, Z. Because Jesus told us that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have ourselves and our children sitting in front of a TV all day long and we're being marketed that our life is going to be happier, better, we're going to look nicer, feel better, and all this because we have the latest clothes and gadgets and toys. Mm-hmm. No, we're going to have true abundant life when we have Jesus Christ in our life. God makes up the difference. God makes up the difference. Listen, God doesn't mind you having things. He minds things having you.
That's right.
And no matter where you are in your finances, you can believe God to bless you where you're at. Why? Why does God bless us? So that, of course, we can take care of ourselves and our families and our needs, but so that we can be a blessing to others. To whom much is given, much is required. We need to have a fresh perspective as believers to how blessed we are and how blessed our children are. You know, these days you hear a lot about helicopter parents and parents are hovering around their children because they don't want them to suffer or fall mm-hmm. or any kind of damage. It's like, come on now.
Right.
I mean, it's hard for me to say that word suffer and live in the United States. I mean, it's just like really hard for me to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And here, just recently, on the Daily News, New York Daily News was reporting about how there are closet-sized apartments in Hong Kong. Closet-sized apartments, and they show these pictures. And we're going to make them available for you on the Torch, but we need perspective.
Wow.
We need this perspective. We need to see that, man, we are blessed. I mean, it's these aerial shots, and they show where somebody is, like, for instance, show a woman preparing vegetables in her apartment. It's a bird's eye view, so you're kind of looking down.
Mm-hmm.
And her apartment consists of, you see a bed there. You see, like, a rice cooker right across from the bed. And that's pretty much it. It looks like they have stuff hanging on the walls and a bunch of bags, but that's their apartment. In another picture, you see a family. You're looking straight down. And you see a family that's sharing a meal in a really tiny little kind of table. There's three people. And that's the middle of the kitchen in the room, I guess, right? One of them is sitting on a bunk bed in the middle that it goes straight up to the sky. I mean, it's just like, how can you fit all of that in this one space? And you get to realize that what happened there is that, you know, skyrocket prices of homes have forced these people to live in these type of conditions, you know, and a lot of times they're cooking, they're bathing in these, you know, small areas, they're washing dishes and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it gives you perspective the next time you think, oh, we're just so cramped in this home. We're just so cramped. I'm looking at a picture right now that we'll make available on the Torch of, again, some more bunk beds, and I see two young little children in this what looks like bed, on top of a bed, and one's doing homework and the other one's sleeping. And next to the little boy sleeping, who's next to the little girl, are book bags and just stuff and just like storage. The bed is storage. It's not meant just for sleeping. Mm-hmm. It's where they store stuff. And I'll tell you, God has blessed us. And if we fail to recognize how good the Lord has been to us, you know, it's almost like if you hear one more time, God bless America. I mean, come on now. I mean, God, I mean, we are so blessed. We need to turn that around and say it's time for America to bless God. Mm. How much more blessed can we be? Exactly. How much more blessed can we be? And so it's time for us as the church to get our spiritual house in order, to get our financial house in order, and to give God what belongs to God and refuse to tip God and rob God, but to honor him with his tithes and with his offerings. Really is a heart condition. It's all about your heart. And the word clearly tells us that we can't serve two masters. We either love one or despise the other. And it's time for us to give our whole heart to God and to live in gratitude for everything that he has given us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.